Hello again. I don't know why I came out of the gate slow there. I got a lot to talk about today. I figured after taking a day off to kind of just see what everybody was saying about what Jim Edmonds was saying on Monday morning's morning after show on 101 ESPN. I spent a lot of time thinking about it because I covered Edmonds, you know, during his entire career as a Cardinal. And I thought, I still do his persona very, very well. Has some insights into him. And so I thought I'd talk about it. This is not going to be a short video. So maybe what I'll do is later today, I will put a transcript of my comments online at scoopsnetwork.com. You can take a look at it there if that you would prefer that. But I would like if you would watch me, and I'll try to get through this quick. But there's a lot to say because this is a pretty big story, and everyone's been going bananas over it in St. Louis over the last, 24 to 30 hours, whatever. He sure did stir it up, though. You know, Jim Edmonds has always been an entertainer at heart, and he had the abundance of talent and the flair for the dramatic and the personal charisma and an impeccable sense of timing. I mean, just look at Game 6 and Game 7 of the 2004 NLCS, where Jim Edmonds like basically personally kicked the Astros into the offseason, and he carried the Cardinals to an extraordinary triumph because they had to win the final two games. And with him doing just incredible things, the Cardinals were carried by Jimmy to their first World Series appearance in 17 years. I mean, he had plenty of help. There were some great players on that team, as we know. But, I mean, he was the star in Game 6 and 7. I always thought watching Jim Edmonds, he gave the people what they wanted. Those big and bodacious home runs, those daring and seemingly impossible catches, showmanship that made even the most mundane of baseball moments seem really, really special. He just had that ability to entertain and kind of milk the moment in a way that just make people happy, glad they're in the ballpark. And those guys are not easy to find, and he was generational in that respect. I don't know that the Cardinals really have had anyone quite like him, and I mean that as a compliment. You know, Jim was a little ahead of his time. You know, he'd hit a ball 430 feet or whatever, and he'd stare at it from the batter's box. He'd flip the bat in a way it seemed like he was trying to send a message to the other dugout. He styled a lot of his catches in center field during a 17-season career that put 8 gold gloves in his collection of honors. You know, he would time that catch just right, make it look more difficult than it was. He made unnecessary dives for balls that he could have probably caught, maybe not standing up, but leaning over. He didn't need to get grass stained sometime, but he did. And that was part of the show. That was part of why it was such a joy to watch him play. He was also fearless in the batter's box, you know, fearless in big spots. I mean, nothing rattled him as far as it's time for me to deliver. And when the moment called for an act of baseball heroism, Jim Edmonds stepped up a lot, man. He delivered so many times, and that's a big part of his story and always will be. You know, Jim was a traveling party. He was never a dull man. He was never a contemplative man. He was never one to sit on the banks of the river to ponder the meaning of life. He always reacted to the moment, always reacted to the moment. That's how he lived, going from moment to moment. And if he wasn't reacting to a moment, he would create a moment when there really wasn't a moment to react to. In other words, he's no stranger to controversy. One of the sort of simple joys of covering the Cardinals for a long time is kind of just observing the way Tony La Russa and Jim Edmonds would go at it. Now, they wouldn't do it out in front of people, but, you know, there was this constant back and forth between them, but there was also so much love and respect between them as well, and I'll get into that later. He was a spectacular ball player, one of the best in Cardinals history. You don't need me to tell you that, man. He was one of the greatest major league center fielders of his era. And the fact that he was not able to last on the Hall of Fame ballot is really sad. And I hope one of those committees will take up his case in the future because he warrants consideration to the Baseball Hall of Fame. We know that he's a Cardinals Hall of Famer and well-deserved. And by the way, Jim in this interview, he indicated, well, I'm not sure I'm going to come back to opening day. I'll be at opening day in 2025. Talking about the home opener, which is almost like a sacred Cardinals tradition, right? Jim's not going to watch this video, but I wish somebody who speaks with him or whatever would tell him. It's like, Jim, don't do that. Put on the red jacket. Take a bow. Your fans love you. Cardinals fans love you, even if they don't agree with everything you said in that interview Monday. A lot of them liked what you said. Some didn't. Some are in the middle. It's one of those issues where, you know, there's all kinds of mixes, a big, huge mix of opinions, diverse opinions. But if you don't show up on the home opener wearing the red jacket with all the other red jacket guys, it's going to make you look small. Please, someone tell him it's going to make him look small. And the thing of it is, he's going to deny the fans the pleasure of seeing him and greeting him and applauding for him and giving him a warm welcome. I mean, he's earned that. Don't relinquish that just because you're mad at the Cardinals about the broadcast booth and all this other stuff. You know, if you look at his career, you don't need, again, I'm really, really short on numbers in this one because I don't need numbers, but just a very quick thing. Fourth all-time in franchise history in homers, behind only Musial, Pujols, and Boyer. He's seventh all-time in Cardinals history in OPS, slugging percentage, on-base percentage. Only 12 Cardinals ever drove in more runs than Jimmy Baseball. Speaking as a fan and as a member of the evil media, I can just say, without hesitation, it was just an absolute joy to watch this guy play. And always you leave the ballpark and you say, okay, what's he going to do the next day? Is he going to climb the wall? Is he going to climb the wall, and then he's going to roll around like he's fighting for his life? Are they going to bring a stretcher out? I mean, you just never knew what was next. It was just incredible to watch this on a daily basis. And the other thing, there's a lot I really, really like about Jim Edmonds. And even now, I disagree with some aspects of what he said in this interview, and I'll get to them because I'd like to think I'm a straight shooter, right? He's a maverick, and he's always had an anti-authority streak, and he questions things. And I like that because a big part of my job is doing that. He's kind of a stream of consciousness orator, I should say. I'll make it a fancy word, zigzagging all over the place, not worrying about organizing his barrage of thoughts, but just like he always tracked those line drives and pop flies and fly balls, Edmonds usually reached his destination successfully. You just had to wait a while. Huh. That sounds kind of familiar. It's kind of like what I do here on the Bernie Show, right? So I like that, the stream of consciousness approach, because I do that myself. And Jim's moody, and I like that because I'm moody. Jim Edmonds, one of the special things about him is he's always moved to the beat of the music inside his own head, and he tends at times to get tangled in his head wires. He can be overly dramatic. He can be contradictory, and who am I to criticize that? I'm guilty of the same traits during my humble career. Edmonds was in the full Jimmy mode Monday morning during that lengthy guest appearance on 101 ESPN. He's filled with grievances, all kinds of grievances, all over the place. I talked about stuff that had nothing to do with baseball, the Cardinals, and I'm not even going to get into that. You can listen to the interview. Those guys did a great job with the interview, and it's still there for you, for your consumption. But he just didn't seem happy. He didn't seem happy about a lot of things, and that actually bummed me out. To see a guy who's one of the legends of this franchise, and he's just like so seemingly, he would deny this, of course, but he just seems so unhappy right now. And that can change, and I hope it will. He was contradictory in his opinions. And this is where I think he lost some credibility in the interview. This is just my opinion. You don't have to look at me as someone who has any credibility. You believe what you want. I'm just giving you my opinion. He was clearly ticked off after losing his easy gig at Bally or FanDuel or whatever they're calling the Cardinals TV broadcasting network today. But then he also said he didn't like the job and didn't want it anymore. Well, which one is it? I mean, he clearly was bothered by this and the way it went down, but yet he claims, that's all right. I didn't want it anyway. Well, those two things don't really add up. He was really contradictory on the Cardinals. venting his frustration about how the organization doesn't care about anything since COVID and they've kind of lost their way. And he vented about the decline of the Cardinal way. And I'm paraphrasing stuff. I'm not going to read exact quotes. That's boring. And, you know, he's kind of expressing his disappointment or his disgust or his disdain or whatever you want to say about the decline of the Cardinal way, the ruination of the Cardinal culture. But then he made sure to pivot and praise the DeWitts, Bill Jr. and Bill III. And he praised President of Baseball Operations, Joe Mazalak, and he praised manager Ali Marmol, making sure that we knew that he liked those people. No, let me correct myself. He actually used the word love. Well, hold on, Jimmy. I'm all about like free form talk, man. And I know, you know, sometimes when we're going really fast and we're saying some stuff, it doesn't come out right. But Jimmy, you just got done ripping the downfall of the St. Louis Cardinals. And the St. Louis Cardinals have been managed by the same family or owned by the same family, sorry, for 29 years. And John Mozeliak's been in place even going back to the Walt Jocketty days. And he's been in place so long, he's, you know, even he realizes it's time to move on. It's just been here too long. And Ali Marmol is a drafted and trained Cardinal employee, you know, from a player in the minors, fourth round pick, player in the minors, a coach in the minors, a manager in the minors, an instructor, a teacher, coach at the big league level, manager at the big league level. You know, my point being is that you rip all this stuff with the Cardinals and their culture and everything that they are now that they're not now, you know, compared to what they used to be. Well, yet he praises the people who have been running the franchise and creating the very issues that he's moaning about. They're directly responsible for the deterioration of Cardinals baseball. And I think many of us, including me, see it that way. So, well, how can you pivot and just praise them and talk about how much you like them or love them? You know, I've never had a problem criticizing the DeWitts or Mo or Marmol or anyone else. I just try to be fair about it. I mean, you've heard me say this. I target the stuff that I think really warrants criticism. I don't get into gratuitous criticism. Every now and then I'll be a smart aleck and I'll do something gratuitous. But if I think maybe some of the criticism's off base, I'll say it. But if I think it's on base, I'll rip and I'll rip and I'll rip. I've done that through my entire career, but especially in the last 10, 12 years or so, you get to a certain age and you don't really care if anybody likes you. You're just going to say what you think. You kind of get to that place in your career where you're just going to let it hang out, right? But these gentlemen, whether you like them, hate them, somewhere in between, they're directly responsible for the state that the Cardinals are in. So how can you then pivot and talk about how much you like them and basically you're not blaming them? Well, who the hell are you blaming? Is it like the assistant equipment manager? Like, who's ruined the culture? Who's done all these terrible things? Is it the traveling secretary? Like, what? Seriously, who is it? They're the guys that run the franchise and been running for a long time. Anyway, Edmonds hurt his credibility with that. And he, you know, hurt his credibility by airing his grievances about the Cardinals and then exonerating the people that were responsible for the Cardinals' demise. Again, Jim, I know I'm dragging this out. Here I go, right? Well, which one is it? Are the DeWitts and Mo and Marmol, are they good? Are they the good guys or the bad guys? You seem to imply they're both. I don't know. Maybe you can be both. But instead of landing a direct hit on them, he backed away from that. Edmonds also said it wasn't any fun to go to spring training. He told a story about a security guard stopping him from entering the team clubhouse one of those days in Jupiter. Said, "Hey, Jim, it's not a good time right now." This apparent transgression bothered Edmonds because he's still carrying it around, still talking about it. But then in the interview, he pivoted again after telling the story about the security guard stopping him. He pivoted saying, "Well, I didn't want to be in there anyway." Again, which is it, Jim? You're still clearly angry because you were stopped one day. And at least in that moment, say, "Well, it's not a good time to go in." But now you're saying, "Well, you didn't want to be in there anyway, but you tried to get in." Anyway, with some of these contradictions, I'm going to use a phrase that I've applied to John Mozeliak a lot here on the Bernie Show. pick a lane. Jim Edmonds, pick a lane, okay? Edmonds wants us to know that former players don't feel welcome in spring training. He's exaggerating, which is okay, because that's what Jimmy does. He's dramatic. More than anything, I think he's also struggling to come to grips with the way baseball has changed, and it has changed a lot, and it just didn't start. Things are different now in a lot of ways. Spring trainings aren't the same. They really haven't been the same in a while. I don't think this is because Bill DeWitt and Bill DeWitt the third are just like trying to be horrible people. I just think it's a different time and a different place, and I have some thoughts on that. You know, sadly, so many of the great Cardinals who were institutions, they were mainstays at spring training, they're no longer with us. Stan the Man, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Red Shandies, George Kissel, Mike Shannon, and I'm leaving people out, which I don't mean to do, so many others. It's really Red Shandies. Yeah, I said Red. Okay, Red Shandies. It's impossible to fill that void. These are giants. These are icons. But you know what? Ozzie Smith, one of the great players in the history of the game, one of the great shortstops ever, and certainly one of the greatest Cardinals on the short list, he's down there every spring working in camp, getting in the infield dirt, teaching the finer parts of defense and base running to the young Cardinals like Mason Winn, who adores him. Ozzie seems to be happy in Jupiter, and the Cardinals players are happy to have him there. And as the Post-Dispatch and STL Today reported on Tuesday, just going through some of this stuff, several former Cardinals are scheduled to be on the ground in Jupiter this spring, including Ozzie, Jose Kendo, Willie McGee, Jason Isringhausen, Bernard Gilkey, Ryan Ludwig. They all have roles with the club. The club made room for them. They wanted them to be there. They wanted them to teach, preach, whatever they're comfortable doing. And, of course, Willie McGee was a major league coach for the Cardinals from 2017 through 2024. He had a long run as a coach, and he wants to be more of an instructor and teacher, so he's going to be a roving instructor in 2025. He's going to do what makes him happy. The former World Series MVP David Freese, ironically the guy that Jim Edmonds was traded for after 2007, he'll be a guest coach for the first time this spring training. The Cardinals have an open invitation to Yadier Molina to visit and stay a while. They hired him and he never showed up. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but are we going to blame the Cardinals for that? Is like everything their fault? Does the player have any obligation to kind of follow through on a mutually agreed partnership? The door's open even now to Molina. He can show up in Jupiter anytime he wants, and it'll be like royalty is walking in. And he could use this opportunity to strengthen his case to become a big league manager. He can kind of get right in there in a strange way because he likes Ali Marmol and respects him. But my point is he can get in there now and make the case. It's like, well, yeah, boy, Molina, okay, we know he was an incredible catcher and a team leader, but now he's in a new phase of his life. And gosh, can you imagine having him in the dugout as a manager? Figuring out this game and finding things to attack and probe and everything else. He's got a chance to kind of enter the picture if they're going to look for a new manager over the next couple of years. And managing the Cardinals is his dream job. And so this is up to him. If Yadi didn't want to show up in spring training, that's his call. Why would you want to demonize anybody? Why would you want to demonize the Cardinals? They got the door open. I'll just put it out there. Oh, and somebody ain't going to like this. Maybe this isn't about excluding former Cardinals from camp. Maybe this is more about the Cardinals not feeling all that great about Jim Edmonds dropping in whenever he wants and having the run of the place on his terms and offering advice to young players, that the kind of advice that maybe goes against what they're being taught and, you know, instructed to do, and you know, putting in a new philosophy on this or that. They have a more advanced hitting coach now. I like the rebel version of Edmonds, but I think there are limits. And you'll have to excuse me for this opinion, but I don't think spring training is about Jim Edmonds having fun. I think spring training, especially now for the Cardinals, who have not been a factor in the postseason for a long time, I think it's more about the Cardinals working really hard this spring because they got to make themselves better as individuals and as a team, and they got to be entirely focused. They all got to be on the same page. So I really don't care that much about Jim Edmonds, whether he had fun or not in his previous visits to camp. Jim Edmonds can have fun in a lot of ways. It amazes me. So many people just think Jim Edmonds can go down there kind of non-structured way, just kind of open the door, walk in, start teaching players. I mean, I'm wasting my breath because with some people, like they don't get it, and that's okay. You don't have to like what I have to say, but I'm telling you what I think. And before you say, well, Jimmy's right, the coaches are wrong, even if that's true, and I'm not sure it is, why would you think it's a good idea to Edmonds to do these drive-bys that create a fuss internally? The Cardinals are in a transition, in case you haven't noticed. The new regime is moving in. That's in progress. This is a big-time transition going on. Changes have been made to the coaching staff. Former Cardinal Daniel Descalso is still the bench coach. Ali Marmol is the manager, lifetime Cardinal. Descalso is being joined by former Cardinal John Jay. And by the way, these guys aren't Cardinals Hall of Famers, but both of these guys, Jay and Descalso, contributed to the 2011 World Series championship team. And they were not superstar players, but boy, did they come through with big performances at clutch times. They earned those rings, and they love the Cardinals, and they each have the same number of Cardinals World Series rings as Jim Edmonds does. And yet they're investing their time, they're investing their career in coaching for the Cardinals, trying to bring the Cardinals back. They didn't see any point in just kind of being part-time, I'll stop by and talk to the kids type of coach. They're all in. I respect the hell out of that. The Cardinals also have a new batting coach, Brant Brown, who was recommended by the beloved former Cardinal Skip Schumacher and also recommended by Albert Pujols. I think his name carries a little currency in our town, right? Pujols credits Brown for giving him great advice that enabled Pujols to kind of rework the way he was going with his swing and his approach that no longer worked with him because of age, worked for him. And he made Brant Brown, Pujols gives him credit for making him, Pujols, much better when he joined the Dodgers after getting his release from the Angels in May of 2021. Brown was a batting coach for LA. He spent 5 years within an extremely intelligent baseball operation. And if Albert Pujols thinks highly of him and Skip Schumacher thinks highly of him, and the early reports of like Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, who are very, really, really important young hitters, they're really fired up about him. So maybe we should let the guy do his job. Maybe he doesn't need former Cardinals coming down and telling, well, Nolan Gorman, no, you should do this instead of what the coach is telling you. Just a thought. I don't think they need any former player. Let's leave Jim Edmonds out of it. Unless someone's down there with a specific role and it's going to do a specific job, do you really want just anybody showing up to kind of risk disturbing the peace? This is a hugely important spring training for the Cardinals. They're all trying to get on the same page. And I think they really all need to get on the same page. What is the organizational philosophy on hitting? What is the plan? What is the approach? How are they going to settle roster spots? How are these young hitters going to get better? Who's going to do it? I mean, this is not like summer camp where you go, you know, you go on, you know, float rides and stuff. This is pretty serious work. I have no problem with the Cardinals being serious in spring training. Do you want them to get better or not? I get it, and we know this if you listen to the broadcast. You know, Jim doesn't like analytics, and he's always made that clear. He's one of the older ball players that thinks analytics and metrics are ruining the game, and Edmonds is smart. I tell you that because his disdain for the new stuff plays very, very, very well with the percentage of Cardinals fans who would like it to be 1967. Jimmy then and now knows how to please an audience, doesn't he? And he knows this audience. Analytics, once again, I don't even know why I waste my time on this. Analytics are nothing more than another tool, another resource that can help players. And they can really help players, and they can help teams get better. And we know this because look at the teams that are on the cutting edge of this stuff. Oh, just by coincidence, they happen to be some of the very best teams in baseball. You want to give your young players all the talents, all of the resources and tools and modern equipment and modern facilities and all the stuff that players are getting in the other organizations. But you got to apply these things properly. I'm talking about analytics in a way that players understand it rather than be confused by it. The answer, though, for the Cardinals isn't to turn back the clock, because they've been doing that too much already. It's one of the reasons why they're in the shape that they're in. No, the solution starts with modernization, and they're in the act of doing this with Chaim Bloom, Rob Cerfolio, and all the really smart people they're bringing in. It's long overdue. I think Jim Edmonds, let me say this. I think some of his protestations are emblematic of something else, the pain and the even sadness that comes with the ending of an era. I went through that with the Baltimore Orioles growing up, in the late 60s through most of the 70s, you know, when all those great Hall of Famers retire and they're no longer there, and all of a sudden there's a void and the team's not very good. Man, it's kind of hard to deal with. It's really frustrating. It's really depressing in a way, and you kind of lose your patience, because it's like you want it to go back to the way it was, but it just isn't going to happen again. You can't replicate something like that. It's hard to move on. It's hard to accept the reality that days of Pujols and Molina and Wainwright and Chris Carpenter and Jimmy Edmonds and Matt Holliday and so many others, it's more about the past than the present, and you can't take the past and make it the present. And as someone that has repeatedly criticized ownership and management for selling nostalgia instead of spending more time and money in the idea of building a much better baseball team that's capable of winning championships again, I'd be a laughable hypocrite for wanting the Cardinals to cling to the past in a way that sells tickets but does nothing to give the fans a championship caliber baseball team than they want. I mean, with the Cardinals, it's always nostalgia, 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 nostalgia. There is always room for nostalgia. You got to honor your past. But man, if you want to honor your past, Bill DeWitt III, Chaim Bloom, you know, I know you're the new guy, but if you really want to honor the past and all your baseball heroes and all the great things they did, why don't you build a team that is capable of climbing up to reach those heights? That's how you honor the past. By building a team that reflects the past to a large extent, not maybe matching win for win, division title for division title, but the kind of team that is capable of winning division titles every year, capable of going on postseason runs, capable of having players that everybody wants to see. That's the way you honor your past. It's not with these cheap nostalgia acts, okay? That stuff drives me crazy. And that's what he ought to be. Instead of Jim Edmonds wanting it to go back to the past, he needs to kind of get on board, because that train's moving down the tracks, man. The Cardinals got to modernize and get smarter and become more cutting edge, which is where they have not been for a long time. That's where they were when they were dominant from 2000 through 2015. So, there's a disconnect here that I'll never understand. They're not doing anything radical. They're doing what they did before, what they let slip away because of their own complacency and arrogance. But now they're trying to say, okay, we learned. We got to do this now. And they're doing it now. And we'll see how it turns out. But I don't need bobbleheads. Like, for me to buy tickets to a Cardinals game, I don't need bobbleheads. The Polish word is dupa. You know what's going to get me down, get me off my duping down there? Go see a team I really want to see play baseball live and in action. As someone, all right, the Cardinals are transitioning to a new era. We talked about it. Chaim Bloom hired Rob Cerfolio. They've recruited a lot of sharp baseball minds. More are on the way. These guys are teachers. They are cutting edge. They're advanced in their thinking and the use of technology and tools and resources and best facilities. Cardinals deserve to have the best. Their players do. Because it can only help them get back to the promised land. That's the direction the franchise needs to go instead of crying about the good old days. Bloom and Cerfolio deserve time and space to complete an immense project. There will be a freshness and a seriousness to a Cardinal spring training that I think is long overdue. This is what people should want. Not to have the usual nostalgia tour spring training, which has been that long. It hadn't been that way for a long time anyway. I want an you know, the Cardinals, I won't repeat something I said, you know, the Cardinals let this thing go stale and that's their fault. But rather than weep about Jim Edmonds not having fun at spring training, I'd rather see the new leadership move in and clean up a huge mess and restore what is squandered and lost because of ownership and the baseball operation and others. And what I'm trying to say is, you know what? I'm in favor of success. I'm in favor of the Cardinals winning divisions and returning to the postseason and making runs and going deep into the postseason. I'm in favor of that. That's what I'm voting for. Silly me, right? Anyway, I'm kind of surprised by all the reaction of what Edmonds said in what was a fascinating interview. It reminded me of some reality show. You know, I know it wasn't staged, but it's like, oh, well, you know, this is kind of like staged. This is like, you know, it's going to get a lot of attention. He knows what he's doing. I don't think that's what it was, but it kind of reminded me of reality TV or something because he was all over the place. The people who hate the DeWitts and they demand that he sell the franchise, they were so ecstatic with Jimmy's airing of slights and grievances and mistreatment and all this stuff. And these people were just so aroused. They were panting over this stuff. All of the outrage farmers on X and other platforms were just thrilled that Jim Edmonds stepped forward to point at things that, by the way, we already knew, we already have talked about, written about, used text message, going, we've tweeted. None of this stuff is new. Pardon me for interjecting that. But you got all these people that are so aroused by Jimmy's attempted rip job on the Cardinals, they failed to hear or acknowledge his many, many, many contradictions, including the proclaimed fondness for the owners and Mo and Marmol. It doesn't matter because, you see, Jimmy is now their messiah, right? He's now their messiah. He's going to lead the franchise out of the darkness. I'm being dramatic. I'm doing it as a tribute to Jim Edmonds. Jimmy is now the messiah who's standing up to the DeWitts and bemoaning the loss of Cardinals culture in the Cardinal way, except he's not blaming the DeWitts, or he's not blaming Mo, he's not blaming Marmol, he's not blaming anybody of any importance. That's enough to fool some of the people all the time, right? And also, you got Jimmy, with Jimmy Edmonds, the analytics haters can now look to him as the man who will save baseball from eternal damnation or something like that. These are the same people who lauded Edmonds for blasting Cubs. Well, he was a Cub at the time. Third baseman, Christopher Morrell. Sorry about that. For showboating and peacocking his way around the bases after hitting a home run against the Cardinals last summer, and Jim had a fit on TV. He was one of those typical retired players, age 54, totally different generation from the players on the field, doing the usual, these kids today, I oughta. And what I think it was really funny, so people loved that at the time, and there are times where we're just like, I don't know whether to laugh or get angry. But the irony is priceless because I like this about Jim Edmonds, but he was like an award-winning peacock, right? As a player, he was the peacock of all peacocks, just about, or he was in the small group of the best peacocks in baseball, you know, just kind of strutting and fanning out those feathers. Hey, look at me, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's part of the entertainment. And it was part of his entertainment package. And I loved it. That's what made him one of the most popular, you got to go watch him, players the Cardinals have ever had. But why is he now condemning these kids today for strutting the way he strutted? And styling the way he styled it, and flipping bats the way he flipped bats. Does he have no sense of irony or self-awareness? It reminds me of a story. And listen, I don't have much longer to go, so bear with me. I told you this one's going to be long, and I do have good stories. after having a series of injuries that limited him in 2006 and 2007, he did get healthy in time of the postseason 2006, and that was great. But over a two-year period, 2006-2007, he played in only 227 of a possible 324 regular season games. He had injury setbacks that limited his production, reduced his outfield range. He was breaking down quite a bit. So Edmonds was about to go in the final year of his contract in 2008, and he called Tony La Russa, and he wanted to just, like, in effect, put Tony La Russa on the spot, which is no big deal, man. Ask Tony tough questions. He can handle it. So Jim wanted to know, would I be the starting center fielder in 2008? Is that your plan? Am I going to play a lot? Because, you know, I'm ready to go. And La Russa, instead of lying and misleading, Jim Edmonds actually gave him a straightforward and honest answer. He told him, you know, Jimmy, you're having a hard time staying on the field. You're getting hurt a lot. You know, you're getting older now. I think in those 2 years, he was 36, 37. TLR told him, he said, listen, man, you know I love you, grateful for everything you've done, but I can't guarantee anything in advance because I don't know what kind of shape you're going to be in. I don't know if you're going to be able to, as La Russa likes to say it, using the racehorse analogy, I don't know if you're going to be able to go to the post enough. So I really can't assure anything. But, yeah, I mean, you come to camp and, you know, hopefully you're in great shape and we'll start fresh and we'll see where it goes. Well, that wasn't good enough for Edmonds. He then called John Mozeliak and asked for a trade. He wasn't screaming or hollering, but he politely asked for a trade. Well, Mozeliak said, okay, if that's what you want, I get it. But Mo went the extra length in that he told Edmonds, he said, listen, you know, are there some places you'd rather go? And they talked, and Mo gave Edmonds his word that he wouldn't trade Edmonds to a place where Edmonds didn't want to go. He wasn't just going to do what was best for the Cardinals. He was going to show all the respect to Jim Edmonds about, in effect, choosing his next stop. And so Edmonds was happy when Mozeliak, he approved this deal to the San Diego Padres before 2008. And the Cardinals even agreed to make the deal work. They even agreed to pay part of Jimmy's 2008 salary. And they received this third base prospect named David Freese in return. I think you've heard of him. Jim Edmonds, oh, I got to get out of here. I want to be traded. You know how long he lasted in San Diego? 26 games. His offensive numbers were horrendous. I don't even want to repeat them because it's kind of like, whoa, you know, just horrendous. He wasn't covering much ground in the outfield. He looked kind of slow. That's what the Padres were telling scouts at the time. The Padres released Edmonds in May, I think because that was what he preferred. The Cubs needed a left-handed bat, and they're pretty smart because they thought, you know what, this guy will be so charged after the Cardinals wouldn't, you know, guarantee playing time after he was an utter failure in San Diego. This guy's going to be so charged up to play on the other side of this Cardinals-Cubs rivalry. And you know what? He was. That move to Wrigley Field instantly energized Edmonds, and he was able to turn back that clock, even though he's 38 years old. So, playing for the Cubs in 2008, and I was at that game, Edmonds hit a Friday afternoon bomb. I mean, he just walloped one against the Cardinals at Wrigley Field. And he did what you would expect. He admired his homer. He took a little time to get out of the batter's box. No big deal. By then, a lot of players were doing it. But he made very sure as he started to move down the line, he took his bat and he flipped it towards the Cardinals dugout. Now you'll hear the people that now see Jimmy as the Messiah talking about, well, that's what he should have done. They disrespected him or some nonsense, right? Yeah. They disrespected him by telling him the truth, and the manager wouldn't lie to him or mislead him. He gave it to him straight. And then the Cardinals worked to make him happy by, in effect, letting him choose where he wanted to be traded. And they even paid money so they could make that deal close. So why is he flipping bats toward the Cardinal, a bat toward the Cardinals dugout? He's flipping a bat. I guess you could say the gesture was meant to flip off the Cardinals, but why? What the heck did he have to be mad about? The Cardinals treated him right. When it was time for him to go, he's the one who said he wanted to go. Why was he mad at La Russa? Because La Russa had the actual respect enough for Jimmy to tell him the truth instead of trying to be a con man. I mean, it's just, you know, this is what I'm talking about. It's always about Jimmy. He's always got the grievances. He doesn't know what he wants. Oh, I want out. Trade me. Okay, they trade him. And he thanked them profusely, but he didn't like San Diego, so I guess now that's the Cardinals' fault. He gets to Chicago, he hits a home run. Great. That's payback for the Cardinals. He's getting his revenge. He's flipping bats to the people he played and competed with side by side for all those great years and people who did what he told them he wanted. So I could go more and more and more about it. And he was really good in Chicago. He did a hell of a job for the Cubs. But you know what? He sat out the 2009 season at age 39 because he didn't like the offers he was getting. He was kind of insulted by them. He tried to play again in 2010, and he hit for some power, but he played for the Brewers and then the Reds, and he couldn't stay on the field, so other teams were basically done with him. And then irony among irony, after what he did to the Cardinals, flipping the bat and all that, they invited Jim Edmonds to camp in spring training in 2011 with a chance to make the team, but it never happened because Jim was still having problems with a strained Achilles that, in effect, ended his career in 2008. And he was still having problems with that, so he called it off. There was no comeback. But the Cardinals eventually gave him a broadcast job. I mean, they were willing to see what he wanted to do. He never wanted to be a full-time coach. That takes a lot of time. That's a huge investment. He's got a family. You know, he had a lot of things, you know, taking care of his kids, coaching his kids. He had kids, and I don't mean this as a shot at all. This is his personal life. I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about, you know, he had kids at different parts of the country, and, you know, so he was always trying to be everywhere, do everything, and it's not easy to be a major league coach. The Cardinals would have done that. When the Cardinals won the World Series in 2006, Edmonds was at the podium, and he said that La Russa was like a father to him. He pushed Edmonds all the time. Edmonds said, God, he drove me crazy. He was push, push, push. He was relentless. But TLR did that because he believed Jim even had, he could reach that a next level standard of greatness. He can even be better than he was. And so they butted heads a lot. It was not easy for Jim Edmonds, but when he won his only World Series championship, Edmonds publicly expressed gratitude very sincerely to La Russa for making him a better player. And La Russa, I was the one that told La Russa what he said. In fact, I went up to get the printout. They transcribed quotes during the postseason. I said, well, let me go up to the, I was in La Russa's office. Let me go up to the press box and I'll grab it. And then you can read it. And I sat there with La Russa and he read it and he was like, I'll be damned. And he got emotional. He got emotional. I mean, Jim Edmonds meant that much to him. And he was so gratified that Jim finally realized like what all that La Russa was trying to do, which was to just make Jim the best that he could be. And La Russa got emotional. And I'll never forget that moment. So it ain't all that much longer after that. Fast forward, he's flipping a bat towards the Cardinals dugout. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. I know a lot of people love what Edmonds did because they're mad at the Cardinals, and it's okay to be mad at the Cardinals. You don't need my permission. I'm mad at the Cardinals about some stuff too. I just prefer to be more on point about what we should be mad about, but everyone has their opinion. And so if, you know, they're mad at the Cardinals and Jim Edmonds goes on 101 ESPN and just goes off in this beautiful, extraordinary stream of consciousness, then Jimmy's their man, right? Fine. But I think Cardinals fans, most Cardinals fans are reasonable and logical, and they're ticked off at the Cardinals, but they have other reasons to be ticked off at the Cardinals that have nothing to do with what Jim Edmonds says, right? If they're like me, it was fun to actually see Edmonds stir it up. I don't have a problem with that, but if he's going to stir it up, it's mostly fun, but I also can't exactly unconditionally sign off on all the things that he said because he kept contradicting himself. And he didn't want to like step up to the plate and take whack at DeWitt and Moe and Marmol, who, after all, once again, they're the people in charge of this ruination of the Cardinals franchise. Oh, but we can't say anything about it, can we? So that's what I'm talking about. Excuse me if I don't take his word as gospel. You're entitled to. I don't have to be. Here's the deal with Jim, and I cannot be more genuine or sincere when I say I loved watching this man play baseball. He was one of the most thrilling individual athletes I've ever covered in sports, because you knew he was going to do great things. You know he was going to do compelling things, entertaining things, spectacular things. You know there was going to be a lot of drama surrounding everything that he did. So it was just a great show, game after game, week after week, month after month, season after season. So it was just a joy to watch this guy play baseball. And here's the thing I think about, and I am getting towards the end here. I still don't know what Jim Edmonds wants. I don't. He changes direction suddenly, and we all do that. I've done that. I've changed careers here and there and gone in a different direction. I think that's part of life. But I'm not even going to get into it. We just never know exactly what's going on there. You know, all of a sudden he's living in Nashville. All of a sudden, you know, the home that he had built in St. Louis, it's listed at $9 million for sale. I do like Nashville. Okay. That's the next stop. That's his life. I'm just saying, I have a hard time figuring out what exactly it is that he wants, what exactly it is that he's looking for. You know, and I hate to be jaded, but I can't help but just say, listen, this blasting of the Cardinals, the timing's awfully convenient. You know, he gets sacked from the broadcast crew. Why didn't he air these criticisms when he was doing the games on TV? Well, we know why. And there's a lot to be angry at the Cardinals about, but Edmonds lashing out in bitterness doesn't pass the test for me. If you love Jimmy and you love what he had to say and you think he's a hero because he said stuff that everybody already knew and some of the stuff was just blatantly untrue, well, even in retirement, man, Jim knows how to get attention. When I say he's a man of great ego, that is not a put down. It's not a put down, because that immense ego is one of the things, a big thing that made him such a great player. So you take the good with the bad. He's a special Cardinal. He'll always be a special Cardinal to me. And I considered it just a joy to watch him. As I said, he made a generation, maybe a couple of generations of Cardinals fans happy. But sometimes I wonder, well, what about his happiness? I really hope that Jim Edmonds will find what he's been looking for. I really, truly do. Jim, you got to be at opening day. Your fans want you there. The Cardinals want you there. You're a red jacket guy. Take a bow. All right. Long one today, but I told you it would be. Had a lot to say because this is the big story in St. Louis. Take care. Thank you for watching. And I'll probably post a lot of this online in transcript form a little later today at scoopsnetwork.com. Thank you very much.